Genesis chapter 50. We're going to read verses 15 to 21. 15 to 21. Verse 20 is my text verse. It's probably one of the more famous verses, and as you get close to the end of Genesis, but I'm going to read verse 15, and then you read verse 16 with me. And Genesis chapter 50, and look at verse number 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did, which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and will your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this truth, Lord, but please help us, give us understanding tonight. And then, Lord, I wish this to be a help, as it's helped me. Let it be a help to each person here tonight. Please bless your word to our hearts. Strengthen us as your people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph is a type of, or a picture of the Lord Jesus in the Bible. And so he's one of the few men, there's three people in the Bible that God chose not to record any sin about. We know he sinned, he was a sinner, but God didn't record any. And so Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, how? Well, just like his brothers sold him into slavery and hated him, when Jesus came to earth, he was rejected by Israel, his brethren. To do what? So Joseph could save Israel. Jesus was rejected so he could do what? Die for the sins of the world. So you have a picture there, and there's a lot more to it than that. But I think the story is interesting. What Joseph and his brothers did to what Joseph's brothers did to him haunted them for the rest of their life. To where even Joseph could look at him and say, "I forgive you, everything's okay." When their dad died, you know, the story is they went to him and say, "Now Joseph, dad's dead, but dad said forgive us." You know why? He already had. They were haunted for the rest of their life for what they did, right? And then you have the word evil mentioned three times in the passage there, which is the result of sin, evil. And so let me just encourage you. Joseph's in Genesis 37 to 50, the last 14 chapters of Genesis. If you've not read it, you need to take a notebook and just read through the life of Joseph. And it's just amazing. Yet all that happened to him, I could not imagine being sold into slavery. That's one bad thing, let alone by your own family. People that hate you, and he told them of the dreams that God gave him. Hey, now, I got to admit, if I'd been back there, I'd be like, "Joseph, shh. Yeah, but it was awesome. All y'all were bowing down to me, and it was just," I'd be like, "Joseph, stop, time out." I wouldn't be telling everybody, "Why don't you praise the Lord for it?" Amen. Because can you imagine, he said, "I had a dream last night. I was this light, and all of you were gathered around me in a circle." Really? So, you know the rest of the story, and then the sheaves bowing, and Then they take him, and it says in Psalms that they put fetters on his hands and threw him into a pit that they didn't dig, which means there's going to be snakes and scorpions and spiders in the pit. And it says he screamed all night long. And it says the fetters cut his hands to where he had scars for the rest of his life because of what his brothers did to him. Then the next morning, can you imagine as they lift him up and sell him to the Midianites? Can you imagine as they're lifting him up, he's thinking, oh, you guys, good, you're going to bring me out of this pit. And he's thinking it's to rescue him, but it is to sell him into slavery. And he sees the cages on the back of the wagons. And can you imagine him screaming at his brothers as the cages drive away? 21 years later, he's been lied about. He's been set up. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him of rape. He never touched her. He goes to prison for it. Then he's forgotten by the chief butler after he interprets a dream for them. 21 years later, his brothers come in from the famine and are looking for food, and he's the second in command. God has put him right under Pharaoh. And his brothers don't recognize him, and he recognizes his brothers. Can you imagine the passion? I think it's one of the most amazing parts of the Bible, but just putting yourself in that story. And then the day Joseph finally reveals himself to his brethren, says he had to leave the room and weep. He hears them talking. They're still haunted 21 years later. I told you we shouldn't have sold him. I told you we shouldn't have. And he hears them, but they don't understand that he hears them, right? So now you come to the end. Jacob has died, and his statement here, it says, verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Just so you know, he said, that's one way of saying God allowed to happen to me what happened. And I've come to the realization that God was in control. Okay? Look at verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, or as it is this day, to save much people alive. To this day in Egypt, in the hieroglyphs, there is honor given to Joseph because he came up with the method of digging a hole and storing grain at the earth's temperature and preserving it. And he was the first person in history. God obviously gave him that wisdom. But to this day, Joseph is elevated in Egyptian history. Now, God used him to preserve the world, but God was trying to preserve Israel. God was preserving the Jews. So they come, and he sees, God sent me here to save life. This truth that God can bring evil, bring good out of the good in spite of evil, is all through the Bible. In these times we're living in, there should be promises that we hold to that stabilize us, like an anchor holds a ship in a storm. Because I don't bring it up to terrorize you. I bring it up because everybody that I'm talking with, that I hear talk, they're saying they've never seen things like this in America. I haven't got any answers. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm watching it happen. So what can I go to in the Bible to help me? And this truth comes. Think with me just for a second. We're going to go to Acts, if you want to go to Acts. But let me tell you some Old Testament stories here real quick of the same thing. You go to the book of Acts and then just kind of wait there. Now, because Joseph's family wasn't big enough to go into the land of Canaan that God wanted to give them, God had to put his people, allow his people to go into slavery, because there arises a ruler that knew not Joseph, and then they are made slaves in Egypt, and that's bad, okay? And if you don't think slavery is bad, go to any Muslim country because they still do it to this day. But I guess it's okay for them to do it and nobody else do it. And they, nobody says anything about Islam, okay? But slavery is awful. Then, but God had to allow through that hardship his people to multiply for 400 years. There wasn't enough of them to go into Canaan and take the land that he had given them, so he used hardship to multiply his people, right? So God used the... God didn't bring evil out of slavery. God brought good out of the people who could trust the Lord in spite of the evil of the slavery. All right? Then, how did God bring Moses? Pharaoh started killing babies, right? They started being scared. Oh, no. If there's a war, they'll join them and take us over. So kill all the baby boys that are being born and throw them into the river and the midwives and the rest of the story. Now, if killing babies isn't bad enough, which, by the way, is why Planned Parenthood was started, to kill babies of a race of people in our country so that there would not be too many of them in the cities. That was done in the 1920s. Interesting. History repeats itself, right? The viciousness, okay? So if the slavery wasn't bad enough, now babies are being murdered. And so Moses' parents hide Moses in a basket to protect him from being murdered so that Pharaoh's daughter can find him and raise him in the government's house of the people that are killing the babies. Right? So look what God did. God had to put Moses in Pharaoh's house so he could learn the Egyptian language, be raised as a ruler, and then eventually come back and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Right? But the murder of babies? God didn't bless the murder of babies. God brought good from the good of Moses' parents' faith in spite of the evil that babies were being killed. All right? Then, as you go through, I'll just take you through a few more stories here. After 400... It is now time for them to take the promised land. And Joshua leads them into the battle of Jericho. But before that, they send spies. And in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab, the harlot, hides the spies in the roof of her house. And it doesn't say Rahab, who used to be a harlot. It says Rahab, the harlot. So God used a woman of horrible reputation and character to bring good because everybody was scared as Israel came into the land, but Rahab was the only one in the whole city that responded in faith to the fear, I'm going to trust your God. If I trust your God, I'll help you. Would you spare me and my family? So what did God do? God brought good. God didn't bless Rahab's harlotry. God brought good out of her faith in spite of her bad job that she had. All right? And put her in the lineage of Jesus, and she's one of the most famous women in the Bible now. Isn't that wonderful? Okay? Now, God brought good from the good of her responding properly to his word in spite of the evil. You're in Acts chapter 8. Ready? Look at verse 1. And it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And what do you mean, unto his death? They had just stoned Stephen in the chapter before. Stephen has just been put to death. So, And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison, Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Verse 4 is pretty much the crux of the whole chapter. What could be more evil and terrifying than persecution and riots and looting driving you from your home so that you have to flee for your life? That's exactly what was happening. Persecution. He's going into every house. The first murderer and torturer of Christians was the Apostle Paul before he got saved, right? Saul of Tarsus. Now this horrible stuff is taking place and people are being scattered everywhere. It would be horrible to have to get so far away from your home so that you wouldn't have to, so you wouldn't have the fear of being killed, and you're running for your lives. Can you imagine if we had to run for our lives from our homes because of rioting and looting? And can you imagine us? I'm just going there in my mind. Okay, don't let your heart rate go up too far, but. If you put yourself in the people of the Bible, can you imagine us running from our homes, fearing because of the riots and the persecution, and then we would be huddled and starting fires and trying to eat and gathering water and helping each other. And I'm sure several of us would say something like this, boy, this has to be the worst it's ever been. Worst it's ever been for us. But you know, things have been bad through history a lot, right? Like that type of stuff, it doesn't really happen here in America. It's new to us, and I'm glad it is. I don't want to experience it, okay? But worse stuff than that happens all over the world. Communism, since its inception, has killed over 100 million people. More people have died in the last century from communism than the Catholics killed in the Dark Ages. As we get closer to Jesus coming, the rule of the Gentiles, okay, to control each other, the communism and that, it's killing more people. More and more people are dying because of it. Okay? So here we are in the book of Acts. I think persecuting Christians is an evil thing. Putting Christians in jail and torturing them is evil. Driving people from their homes is evil. But, verse 4, God used the people that lost everything but their faith in Him to take the gospel to new towns and new cities and new countries and to eventually the uttermost parts of the earth. You have to understand, the church at Jerusalem, they weren't doing what they were told. They were told to go to Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. And at this point in Acts chapter 8, they're the only church in the world. They did not go soul winning. They're all, now people are getting saved and stuff like that, but it took persecution for them to finally do what God told them to do. Okay? I don't like persecution. I don't want it. But that lets me know, if God used them and everybody that lost everything but their faith to spread the gospel, then that lets me look at what's going on in America, and I cannot help but think, what good are we supposed to be used for the Lord to be bringing out of in spite of this evil? What does God want to use you to do in these dark times? I would call them dark. There's darker in the world. There's darker. However, what does God want you to do that He could bring good from in spite of the evil? In spite of the evil. I learned that from this. An evil government persecuted God's people. God didn't bring good from an evil government. God brought good from those who didn't turn against God when they lost everything. That's important to understand. So, God brought good from the good of those who trusted Him in spite of the evil. Now, go to Acts chapter 9. Now, this is the chapter where the Apostle Paul gets saved. And he gets stricken off the horse. He sees the Lord Jesus. He goes to the house of Ananias. Well, Ananias is told to go get him. And look what God tells Ananias about the Apostle Paul. Ready? Look at verse 15. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me. Y'all understand Ananias was scared to death. He's supposed to go get the persecutor that's been torturing and killing Christians. And God tells him, go get Paul, Lord. Can you imagine? And he's saying, don't have any fear. He said, okay, so these verses kick in. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Watch, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He must suffer. Look, I can truly say as a child of God, when I got saved 37 years ago, if somebody would have told me, hey, in 37 years, you're going to be pastoring a church, I'd have went. I remember teaching my first Bible study. I was terrified. The things that God didn't show me everything that I would suffer for him. God didn't show me all the battles I would fight in Christianity in being a servant of the Lord. But God did that to Paul. Wow, did God show Paul a lot? Paul is the pattern for every Christian. 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul got to witness to at least two kings, and he did it while he was in chains. He said, oh, King Agrippa, I wish that you were like me except these chains. I wish you could know the Lord like I've met Jesus, just without the prison sentence. Wouldn't it be awful to be arrested, though, for witnessing? Think with me. Wouldn't it be awful to be put in jail because of what you believe? Before Paul, he was a murderer with consent of the government. Now he's a preacher and the government wants to kill him. God didn't use the evil government or bring good from the evil government. Listen closely. When Paul got arrested and imprisoned and beaten and put in chains, Paul didn't turn against God. So therefore, God used Paul. That's how God could use Paul to pen 13 books of the New Testament and be a witness everywhere he was, in prison or planting churches. So listen closely. God didn't bring good from the evil. God brought good from a good man to do a good work because the evil didn't turn the man against God. That's what happens. You go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Everybody asks the question, can God bring good from evil? But I think I'd like to teach you tonight is I'd really like to see you rephrase it. And I think it's correct to say God brings good from good in spite of the evil. And God works in spite of it. But does God bring good from evil? I think it needs to be rephrased. Look at Romans 8. Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, isn't that wonderful? God says, you don't know how to pray. But pray anyways. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And if you'll humble yourself when you pray, if you pray anything wrong, it's reinterpreted by the Holy Spirit. And God will help you pray. But God says, you don't know how to pray, but pray and I'll help you. Look at verse 27. It says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I think I have two sets of two words. Ready? All things work together for good, and then those words, to them that love God. Everything doesn't work together for good for everybody. If you'll love the Lord, God can make the things that we wished wouldn't have happened and the things that were out of our control work together, just like you'd mix them in a mixing bowl, for good if you love God. If you get bitter against God and angry, and you, I'll show you here in the Bible, then those things don't work for good. They start adding to your destruction. Bitterness is horrible. The verse, I think Romans 8:28, that's why it tells me this way. With what we're watching happen in America, I don't care if it's, you know, you can pick any issue you want to. You know, the riots, you can picture the violence, you can, whatever, take any angle you want. Good can come from it to you if you love God through it. Right? But you can't get upset at God. That's why you've heard me mention, teenager, don't get upset at God because you're born in this time frame. Well, how come I couldn't be born in a more peaceful time? I don't know. I'm not God. I know God still wants to use you, and I know God has wonderful plans for your life. Well, I wish I was born. Don't wish you were born at a different time. Don't get angry at God. Say, you know what? God's brought me to this time for such a time as this. And God's got plans for me. And you've got opportunities that people before you didn't have. They're just, you know, we have a tendency, we like our comfort zone. To them that love God, all things work together for good. I like the statement, all you have to do is love God and He handles everything that you don't understand and can't control. Just love the Lord. Just love and let God handle everything else. All of my whys aren't going to get answered now. And it's not a sin to ask God why as long as you don't demand an answer. The prophets asked why. The prophets said, how long, O Lord, is this going to keep going on? How long? And then they went into their prayers. Lord, we know we're a sinful nation. Lord, we know we're a wicked people. But how long is this judgment going to come? Christian, ask God why. Just don't demand an answer. We may not find out why till we get to heaven. But until then, my heart shall go on singing. Right? Okay. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Look at verse 10. Psalm 76 and verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Only God could do that. You mean what's going on? God says He can bring praise from. Yes. And then the evil is not so... Who is the one that's restraining evil right now? God is. God says He's holding back. Then, okay, here, look at the other verse that ties in with this. So God says He's going to get praised from man's wrath and all of this junk that's going on. God can work it out to where He gets praised from it. But go to 2 Thessalonians. Go to your New Testament. Look at chapter 2. Ready? I give you things that try to help me, and I know this means a lot to me, and I go to the Bible and the promises, but look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, in your New Testament there, chapter 2, and look at verse 6. And now we know what withholdeth that He might be revealed in His time. So there's a withholding happening. Look at verse number 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. Okay, we do use the word let. The word let means hinder. Just like in tennis when they say let, it's a call. Hindered, ball's been hindered. God uses that word in your Bible. He who's hindering will hinder. Guess who's holding back the mystery of iniquity from overtaking the world? God is right now. And isn't it wonderful in Psalm 76, God says, the wrath of man will praise the Lord, and whatever won't praise the Lord, he holds back. And guess when God quits holding things back? The next verse is the rapture. When we're taken out of here, the floodgates open, and it becomes literally 7 years of hell on earth. Amen? So as long as we're here, I'm watching God. I'm saying, I watched some of the rioting last week, and yeah, I had tears coming down my face. I respond that way to it. I don't like what I'm seeing. But these verses came to my mind, and I said, Lord, you can use that to praise you. What a God. What a God. And I'm not saying this as a cop-out, but that verse teaches me it could be a lot worse if it weren't for God. Amen? God's withholding the mystery of iniquity right now. Let's go to another one. Go to Ecclesiastes. Ready? We looked at Ecclesiastes in Sunday school this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 15. I'll show you two places. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right after Proverbs. This is such a neat verse. Look at Ecclesiastes 1:15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So what's crooked can't be made straight. Then look at Ecclesiastes 7:13. He's going to remake this statement. And God, I think, really wants you to think about this. Look at this. Ecclesiastes 7:13. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? I don't know how come I've never been to a Christian school. I've taught in a Christian school, but I didn't get to go to it as a teenager. I was a public school teenager. I didn't get to get raised in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Baptist, soul-winning church. When I'm tempted to say, how come I couldn't be, Lord, how come I had to wait until I was 20 to get saved? That verse comes, who can make straight that which he hath made crooked? You can't change your life. God, look, it says, consider, think about the work of God. God brought you where he brought you from, and God is taking you where he has planned to take you, and you cannot how come this couldn't happen to me? I know some of the, I've heard some people say, when the kids are up here playing, as far as they're like, man, to just watch the young people play the piano. And then I think of my filth when I lived as a teenager. How come somebody couldn't, and you almost sense they're not angry at the kids. They're frustrated and thinking, man, my life was so messed up. Who can make straight that which he has made crooked? God allowed it to be bent. To do what? I think I'm going to learn when I get to heaven. How come you got saved at age 20? I have thoughts, okay? You got saved at age 20 because you're a jerk. Amen? You're a self-centered punk. And if somebody would have tried to witness to you earlier, you'd have been done at church and all that stuff. You had to go through till I got saved at age later. But I think we're going to find that out when we get to heaven. But consider, think about the work of God. And any regrets that you have of your past, God says, I planned it that way. You praise God now that you're saved. And God says, the wrath of man will praise him. So, can good come from evil? I don't think it's a bad question, but I do think it needs to be reworded. And a better way to say it is, God works good in spite of evil. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 15. We got, I think, two more places to look at here tonight. For all things, 2 Corinthians 4:15, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So our body, our outward body is dying. And then watch verse 17. For our light affliction. You know what affliction is? It's continued suffering. It is heartache that doesn't come just once. An affliction, if you're afflicted with a sickness, it doesn't let up. And it says our light affliction or our suffering that continues is but for a moment, worketh for us. It's working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So facing the fact our bodies are hurting and aching, and I think our bodies get, look, my body is in the process of dying. It starts at birth. And then as you get older, it just gets tireder and tireder and tireder. Till finally, the heart gets so tired, it quits beating. It gets wore out. Right? Getting old isn't for wimps. I like that statement. Okay? And joints ache and... So you enjoy watching the youth and their strength, and you know their little kids, they bounce everywhere, you know, all that energy. But here we go. The more miles you put on your body, the closer to the junkyard it gets. Amen. But God can use you, listen to this, all the days of your life, in spite of the troubles, difficulties, and evils of your body breaking down, if you don't get mad at Him. If you don't live for God, your body's going to hurt when you get older. If you do live for God, your body's going to hurt. If you don't serve Jesus, you're going to have aches and pains. And if you serve Jesus, you're going to have aches and pains. But the evil of suffering in your body can work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory if you'll keep your eyes on the eternal. Life is going to take its toll on our bodies, and we're going to suffer affliction, but it doesn't have to take a toll on our heart and our spirit. We can keep on going as long as we don't get angry at God. We're not going to live a life of no suffering or affliction. That doesn't happen for anybody. But listen closely. Don't let the evil that happens to you make you evil. Right? Don't let the suffering change you. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. Go to Isaiah 45. And I want to show you this. Isaiah chapter 45, and look at verse 5. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. Here we go. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Watch verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or why, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? So, when God says, the potsherds, what's clay? We're clay, right? We're vessels of clay. It refers to us like that in the New Testament. We can strive with each other. That's not good. But when you strive with God, listen closely. Okay? When you get bitter against God, when you fight against God because life isn't going your way, you don't get light, you get darkness. You don't get peace. God allows evil to come your way. If life's afflictions and troubles aren't bad enough, when you fight against God, He adds to it. That's why the best thing you can do is love the Lord. Okay? People say, I just don't know what's going on in America. How can you not understand what's going on in America? I'll give you two things. Since 1972, America has funded the murder of 60 million babies. You think God just doesn't see that? Since 1960, communist professors have taught in our state universities against America and capitalism. It's taking its toll. That's the rioters. You want to let communists in the country? Oh, don't take it too far. Let's be more open. Yeah, this is the price we're paying. What do you mean you don't understand what's going on in America? This has been building for 60, 70 years. It's now coming to a head. Our society has been fighting against God since the 1960s with the sexual revolution and then the rock music and the homosexuality and the transgenderism and, I mean, all types of filth and degradation. It's been going on for a long time. As God mixes up evil for this society that has been fighting against Him, we should love God and stay good so God can bring forth good from our good in the midst of all this evil. Romans 12:21 says, Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I don't think you're supposed to live like an ostrich in denial. Well, I just don't think it's that bad. I think it's that bad. But what does God want to use you to do? From Joseph all the way through the Bible, God can continue to work in you and through you if you'll just stay focused on the Lord. And I because I can't change what's happening, I can encourage you as a Christian. You love God. You stay in your Bible. I don't know what's all going to happen. I don't know what they're saying. Oh, you thought 2020 was the start of it was bad with the coronavirus. Wait till it ends with the election. They're saying it's going to get worse. Nothing is letting up right now. So what does that do to you? Ought to drive you to your Bible. And God will use you and bring good from your good in spite of all this is happening. I can't help but think this. There has to be, you know, when he walked through the door this morning, my head's going a million miles, you know, I'm there, no here, folk, no, what's going, you know, what's, no, you know, and I'm, you know, OCD, and, but I can't help but think, I think through all of this turmoil, if we'll just keep doing right and keep loving the Lord, God will use you at your workplace. God's going to use you in your neighborhood. And God's going to bring good in your family. All of that wouldn't have happened, I think, in spite of all this. I think there's people that God's looking to get saved. I think look, they're not interested in revival. I think God's doing a work in people. All I can tell you is don't get bitter against God. Don't get angry with your maker. How come I had to be born in this time? How come? What's going on? How come this has to? God says, you're here for a reason. Just walk with me and I can help you and bring things out of your life. That's the sermon tonight. Can God bring good out of evil? God doesn't work that way. God brings good out of good people who trust Him in spite of the evil. That is in your Bible. And I hope that encourages you. Amen. Because that was the purpose of the sermon. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Lord, I know we could have spent more time here tonight. But Lord, please, use this truth. Please. Lord, when we don't have answers, when we don't know what's going on, thank you that we can look to you and trust you. Heavenly Father, help each person here, help each child, each teenager, each person, please, to look to you and rest in you and walk with you in spite of all that's going on. Bless these people, please, in a special way. In Jesus' name.